T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is the morning show. Well, you know, Hugh, of course, it's Greg Allman. You know, I covered the Allman Brothers back in the day. I knew Jessica. No, Greg Allman.
Freaking got a day off.
They were really good, right? I mean, really, really good.
He's up there, and wherever he lives, on the Georgia Tennessee line,
I knew Jessica,
out there with his boys drinking wine with his lovely wife.
Oh,
leave that man alone.
Well, you know, Hugh, I think back to my Southern Rock roots. It is the morning show. John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, hanging out for John and Hugh this morning with you till 10 o'clock on this Memorial Day Monday. We do invite you to go to @929TheGame on our Vision Computers poll on Twitter. We're asking you about how soon is Atlanta ready to become the epicenter. Brian Gebhardt, please update us. First off, give us the choices and give us where we're at right now and all of that.
Our four choices are never, this year, next year, and not anytime soon. And the Debbie Downers are out this morning. 48% say not anytime soon, followed by 26% saying next year and 22% saying never. This year only has 4% of the votes.
Okay, you said Debbie Downer. Yeah, those are the people that shouldn't be up or that are up right now. Just mad because they're working.
They're
right
working
now.
Today. Yeah.
So I'm just going to be negative.
So Randy McMichael has talked a little Falcons here. So before we get into it, I want to ask you about the offense. But I was reading an article from the Falcoholic that was talking about how the division of the carries, division of the touches, really, I should say, for Freeman and Coleman. We all believe that this is Tevin Coleman's last year as an Atlanta Falcon. And I thought it was interesting because I was looking at the numbers. So last year, the split was 232 touches. So basically rushing attempts and receiving, or rushing attempts and receptions, 232 to 205.
Okay. Now, hold on, 232?
232 to 205.
Okay.
Now, the year before was 281 to 149.
Okay.
And then in Coleman's first year, gosh, it was like 233 to 89. Okay. And remember, Coleman was hurt part of that year. Coleman played a little bit more last year. Freeman played a little bit more the year before. But I said this, and it's going to tie into the next thing I want to talk about, but I wouldn't have a problem if Coleman ends up with the most touches when you talk about receptions and rushing attempts, and mostly because of the reception number. Because I'm of the belief, if he ain't going to be here next year,
might as well use him up.
Why save him?
Yeah.
Why should I save him for whoever's going to sign him next?
I agree. And I like this last year stat. And even though neither one, I mean, Tevin played well. Free was banged up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have his, but that 232 to 205 seems about right as far as touches.
Right.
I think you would want Tevin more passing, more catches than Free, but that, I have no problem with that kind of distribution of the carries and touches between those two.
Yeah, I think it should be pretty close to equal out there. But, and this ties into the second part when I asked about the three things that the offense I think has to do better or more of. Give me your list as far as what you think offensively this team needs to do.
Red zone. They were 23rd in the NFL last year as far as red zone efficiency. I tell you this all the time. I'll let you get busy between the 20s. I'll let you get busy between the 20s, but once we get there, we're shutting it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the Falcons got to do a better job. Game planning, Julio and Matt have got to find a way. Because I said this when I was covering for Mike this week, Chuck. Even when I played against the Falcons, when they had Julio, whenever they do scout team and everything, and I was sitting over and watching everything, very rarely did they use Julio in a one-on-one, just throw the ball up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did against us. When I was with San Diego, you remember, and against Tampa. I mean, just let him go up and get the ball.
Yes.
They don't give him enough opportunities to do those type of things. When
Does he get enough one-on-one to do that, though?
He doesn't get enough one-on-one to do that.
Right.
You took words out of my mouth. Now, with that being said, there's always a safety over there.
Right.
There's always a safety over there helping out on that play. But the right, you know, the timing of the back short, all that, they need to work on that. My second one is catch the damn ball. I mean, plain and simple, catch the damn ball. I mean, you get paid a lot of money, and I played receiver, so I dropped. I'm not going to say I dropped the ball. It's a part of football. There's never been a receiver that hasn't dropped the ball. But some of their drops were just unacceptable, and they led to interceptions. It's not just bad dropping the ball, but when you turn the ball over because the ball went to your hands or off your hands, that's worse. And third one is get the tough yards. I mean, I know they're going to – I mean, Coleman was a good player, but he wasn't what they needed. You know, they need a go in there and smack you in the mouth type fullback, and he wasn't that guy. Who was the guy before him that everybody loved that went to Buffalo? DeMarco.
Patrick DeMarco.
He wasn't that guy either. Okay, no. So please stop. We missed DeMarco. No, you don't. You need a bull to run up there and get those 1 yards, because when you talk about this zone run scheme, JC, it's a one-cut type thing downhill. Right. But sometimes you got to have that fullback in there to lead up and do that. You saw that with Terrell Davis when he ran for all those yards in this scheme, and with Clinton Portis and everybody, they had a fullback. So those are my three things.
My third one was better distribution of the football.
Okay.
Get everybody involved like they did a couple of years ago. Second thing is kind of ties in what you said. Get some shots downfield. And what my hope is that it doesn't have to be just Julio, that Calvin Ridley can be a guy that maybe takes some of that pressure off. My thing is, Randy, even if you don't have a huge completion percentage of those plays, make the defenses work. When you've got Julio and Calvin Ridley, make the defenses work. Number one for me is I want them to get back to throwing the ball to the running backs in space. I want Freeman and Coleman more in space again. You know, a couple of years ago, Freeman had 73 catches.
Yes.
I'd love to see one of those guys be in that 60-65 catch range, because look, I think that there is a shelf life to how much you ask Devontae Freeman to run between the tackles and lower his head and go in there.
He's a space player, but he runs bigger
violent.
Than he is.
Right,
he runs
exactly.
too violent. And I tell you this all the time. I mean, you love it, but one of my favorite coaches, Coach Art, was down in with me in San Diego. I mean, sorry, in St. Louis, and he was kind of like Williams. He was his running back coach at Tampa. He said, "I love the kid, but he ran bigger than he was."
Mm-hmm.
And you can't run like that in NFL and be a small back. And not saying that Lack was a small back, but I mean, he's not big enough to run the way he runs.
Well, it's
fun, it's cheering, you know, see all that, but.
No, you know, Cadillac Williams can do that against Vanderbilt and Southern Miss.
Yes.
You can't do that against the Steelers and Oakland or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like
You get broken up.
Right.
It was a guy in Dallas. Marion Barber.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they loved it.
Yeah.
They gave him a new contract. Marion played 2 years after that.
Yeah.
Because got to be smart.
And that's why I would love to see them get back to getting those guys, especially Coleman, in more space.
Yeah.
Let those guys make more plays in space and get them around.
And you look at how they used them, how Kyle used them. I remember there was a play in the red zone where they brought Coleman out the back. He ran a corner right out the back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does better than Free as far as going down
yes.
the field. If you talk about a little check down and make you miss right there, that's what Freeman does best.
Why don't they put those guys both on the field?
I know
the NFL has gotten away from that two-back set,
yeah.
but why do they not – when you've got two guys like that, why not mix those two guys more on the field together?
I agree.
Hell, even if you split Coleman in the slot, I mean, move him out and put him – but put those two guys on the field together.
I agree. We used to call it pony. When you have two halfbacks in
right.
the game, and they did, I think they were going to try it a little bit more, but then Freeman went down, and then you just couldn't get the right play call, the right situation. But you got to have those. I would love to see a set when you're talking about you going no tight end with those three receivers
right.
and those two guys.
Was that part of your offensive coordinator's learning curve too about how to
yes,
use his personnel?
It was. I'll give you the prime example when we had Ronnie and Ricky. And it was like Nick Saban was like, let's get these guys. Because I know they were talking about, remember that when they put in the Wildcat and all that?
Right.
No. Nick Saban came up. He's like, how do we get Ronnie and Ricky on the field at the same time? And when we played against the Falcons in Miami, and we ran up and down the field with those two guys, Ronnie was playing fullback, Ricky was playing tailback. Ricky was playing fullback. I mean, that's how he mixed it up.
Right.
And that's what he needed to do.
Yeah, and I know that's not something that's popular in the NFL right now is to put
oh, no, it's all
two
about,
guys like
it's
that
all
on the
about
field.
Three wide receivers. I mean, would you say huck it all the way around?
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Huck and duck, chuck it all around out there. So 404-741-0929 is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Buzz Diamond text line. Let's grab a quick call. We'll go out to Jeff out in Riverdale. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Man, you said something that just caught my attention. The number one thing I would like to see the Falcon do, you just mentioned, was take those deep ball passes. If you look at what teams are doing to the Falcons, it's fortunate that the Falcons have great skill players, and teams are unable to do a very good matchup with the Falcons. It's hard for them to do it. Fortunate for us, bad for them. But the problem is when the Falcons face teams who have a defense and that can cover, what they would do is take those guys and put only rush three or four guys at Matt Ryan, put everybody else in the middle of the field where Matt Ryan likes to throw those underneath passes all the time, and it makes those throwing lanes difficult for Matt Ryan, and it put pressure on the running back, the offensive line, and also put pressure on the Matt Ryan passing game in the short yardage. So they force Matt Ryan to go deep. For some reason, they don't take those shots as often as they should because they have good wide receivers that can do it. And when you see teams like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and guys like New England, that's what they love to do.
I appreciate the phone call. This is where having a Ridley and a
that's
Julio
gonna, that's
Randy,
all that's going to help. That helps.
But wouldn't you love to have a tight end who could run right down the seam with those two guys on the outside?
And Hooper can do that. Hooper can
Danny?
Move. He can run. Hooper can
Danny?
Run. I think he can. That's just me. I think
Danny?
He can. Yes. I said yes, got, yes, yes,
do,
yes, yes.
Do they got the right guy?
Yes. You got to keep saying Cammy? Yes. But.
Can he?
Yes, he can. Okay. He can. He can. He's okay. An athletic guy. But we talk about it. If you think he's going to be like a Jimmy Graham Gronk type numbers guy, that's not what he's going to be.
No.
He's going to be a 60, 65 catch guy. Going to give you about, if he can give you 600, I mean, if he can give you over 12 yards a carry, 10 yards a carry, mm-hmm. I mean a catch. 6-7 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I think he can do that for mm-hmm. this team, but he's got to do it this year. I mean, you saw flashes, but the thing that made everybody mad about Hooper was when he dropped the ball. It wasn't that he dropped it; when he dropped it.
His timing of those plays,
and that's the frustrating part about it.
Look, I think what has happened is that people put this unreal expectation. People so desperately want Tony Gonzalez back
it's
in
not
this offense.
Happen.
There's nobody like that.
Okay, you're talking about Mount Rushmore of a position, bro.
Right. There's just nobody like that. Yeah. And to your point, Randy, to me, if my tight end is 50 catches and 520 yards
with those,
and four touchdowns.
With those guys, with those receivers and backs, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I
don't really need more. Because to be honest with you, I don't know that I want Hooper catching more than 50 passes.
If he catches 60 balls and he's like, say, the fourth leading receiver on his team – you're going to win the Super Bowl because that means Julio's getting busy. That means Muhammad's getting busy. That means Ridley and the backs are getting busy.
Well, if he's got 60 catches and is fourth on this team, good Lord.
That's pretty good.
That means Matt's thrown it 900
times.
How many
did they have from the group? How many completions did he have his MVP year? Because I know he threw, 13 touchdowns, 13 different players, but how many completions did he have that year?
Matt, let's see here. I will tell you. Keep the audience entertained first.
Because I'm telling you right now, if he can find a way to spread the ball out like that, if he can get, say, Julio, because Julio's going to get his 90. And Sanu's probably 65. So I'll say Hoover third.
So in the 2016 Super Bowl year, he had 373 completions.
Okay.
Now listen to this, though.
All right.
Because. And he had 342 last year. Those years, 2012, 13, 14, 2015, 407 completions. 2014, 415 completions.
So Hold on.
2013, 439 completions.
That's what I said. If you can get 60 from him, if he completes over 400 passes, JC, it's easy for Hooper to be 60 and be fourth.
Oh, yeah. But you look, too, though, Randy, because and last year was a down year because it was only 64.7% completion percentage. But the year before, the MVP year, 69.9, 66.3, 66.1, 67.4, 68.6 to lead the NFL.
Pretty damn
so
good.
So every three times he drops back, two of those are completed.
Pretty damn good, huh?
Well, but he's, you know.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. That's why I'm with you. I mean,
but that, but Randy, 439 completions.
That's a lot of,
dude. That's flinging it around.
That's hooking it.
651 attempts, 628. But see, here's the thing, though. You know, you look at those years when they were bad and were always coming back. 651, 628, 614.
What was the rushing like in that year?
Well, but the Super Bowl year, he went from 614 in 2015 to 534. So that's 80 less attempts. Yeah,
because you had the running game
right,
going.
And 529 Free, yes, last year.
Because Free and Coleman, they were running the football. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep Matt somewhere in the 500s, that's a good year for him.
Yeah, because the Falcons had a total of 430 rushes last year. They ran the ball 430 total times when you count everybody, right, with Matt and Tevin and Devontae and everybody that had a rushing attempt. I mean, Julio had a rushing attempt. You know, I mean, Mohamed Sanu had four rushing attempts. So you had 430 rushing attempts for the Falcons. And then the Super Bowl year, the Falcons had 421 rushing attempts. So, and I think that, yeah, boy, if he's 60 catches and fourth on the team, good Lord, that means Julio's got 100 and Sanu's got 70 and, you know, Freeman or Coleman's got
65
themselves. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But I wonder, is that a good thing, though? I mean,
I think
does
it
need to be that high?
No, but I think it could be. But I mean, he had with 40,
but are we? But are
had,
we that?
He had 49-ish, I think. So I'm saying you want to drop down from 49. I mean, if you say 50, if you give him 50, and he's right around say 600 yards and five touchdowns, that's where he needs to be. But if he can get up to 60, I think that'd be a great year for him at 60.
49 catches, 526 yards, and three touchdowns. Yeah. Now he was targeted 65 times.
Okay, so he's targeted 65. So let's put it probably at 50. Let's just say 50.
Yeah, I mean,
let's say 50.
50-55.
Yeah.
50-55 with 550 yards and three or four touchdowns. I'd be okay with that.
You'd be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
once again,
you know me, I don't
You don't have expectations.
Right.
I don't have expectations.
Right.
So many people have expectations that are out of this world for Hooper because of the name you said, Tony Gonzalez.
How? Honestly, some fans are going to like this. Is he really grayed out more than a good backup tight end? I mean, is he really a
tight end one?
Yeah. Is he really a 16-game tight end one?
Well, I mean, I think this year, JC, we'll determine that.
Yeah. We'll find out
a lot. We're going to find out a lot because remember Dan Quinn called him out.
Hey, Five Stripe supporters, join Sports Radio 929 The Game this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock at Big Tex in downtown Decatur. You can see Atlanta United take on the New England Revolution, plus a chance to win Atlanta United gear and prizes. When we get back, did we think about Randy on this story? Cliff Avril has questioned what happened in the Super Bowl from a few years ago. That's got Randy written all over it. We're going to talk about that story next, but first, the CBS Sports Minute with Amy Lawrence.
I told those guys, that's my fault totally. You know, we could, because everybody just, why don't you just run it? You know, just that's a real good thought. But we had plenty of time to win a game. And we would have, in our minds, we thought we'd done it on third and fourth down. And that's how we were playing for third and fourth down.
Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll bringing us back in. Do you know this song?
Yeah, I know this song. Let me guess. You used to tear the dance floor when this came on, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rendezvous? Oh, yes. Rendezvous over in Dunwoody? Yes. Dance around a Kylie Minogue. The other song from this album, what is it? Love at First Sight? That's treadmill music.
Right.
That's one of my treadmill songs, so. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios on a Memorial Day Monday. Filling in for the morning show, filling in for John and Hugh. So you heard Pete Carroll's and his explanation. Yeah, that's all good. Brian and I saw the story yesterday, and yeah. you were like instantly. I said we got to talk about this. So there's a report out here from I guess this was on a podcast Thursday with NFL Network where Cliff Avril talked about how that some of his former Seahawk teammates, quote-unquote, began questioning Coach Pete Carroll after Seattle's last-minute Super Bowl loss to New England. Now, Avril was released earlier this month. he in talking about the play where obviously it says Carroll called for a pass from Russell Wilson and obviously was picked off by Malcolm Butler, the famous play that you know about. He says, quote, I do think the team would have bought in more to what Coach Carroll was saying instead of going the opposite way of, hey, this is what we thought the foundation of the team was. That's not what happened in that particular play. So I think guys started questioning him more so than actually following his lead if we won that Super Bowl. Now, remember, we heard Richard Sherman basically say the same thing, and you've been on this mantra that they're never going to get over what happened.
There's no way possible. And I just go back to the reaction of the team, because you remember they showed Richard Sherman's face and that face he made, like, no. And then they interview Bruce Irvin and Michael Bennett after the game, and you see Bruce Irvin and these guys with tears in their eyes. Like, why would we do that? And I know a lot of people said, well, he wanted Russell Wilson to be the MVP. He didn't want Marshawn Lynch. I don't believe that.
And boy, that'd be real petty.
If that happened.
Whew.
But, I mean, let's go back to the play itself. It's a great play down there. It's a great play. It's a pick play. Everybody runs it. But Brandon Browner just wrecked the play from the beginning because Richardson couldn't get off. Or was it Richardson or Lockett? They couldn't get off the line, and he just jammed the receiver and allowed Malcolm Butler to jump that route. But, yeah, look here in Atlanta. The Falcons are almost like the Seahawks. They got all these bumper sticker quotes and all gas, no brakes, and brotherhood and all this. And then I'm sure when they threw the ball and not ran it, some of those guys on the Falcons squad was like, what just happened?
Oh, yeah.
But they're all young.
Right.
They're all young.
Right.
And the Seahawks players, they were young too, but they were out. They were real brash, outspoken, right, and all those things. So that people never get over this. That organization would never get over this. Could you imagine back-to-back Super Bowls right now?
Well, that's just the thing,
you'll
Randy.
You'll never
is
get
that
over it.
The legacy of what the Seahawks are in that run. Look, they'd be looked at, and not that they're not looked at as a really good team, but being a back-to-back Super Bowl champion would change the legacy of that franchise and those guys forever.
You beat Tom Brady and Peyton Manning back-to-back years?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And just looking at what the legend of the Legion of Boom would be, and just all of that cachet that would come with, hey, this is one of the only teams to be back-to-back. And, I mean, you talked about it's one of the great franchises. And it's not that we don't talk about Seattle, but there would be a different conversation about the Seahawks if they're back-to-back Super Bowl champions like that.
Of course. Of course. And it came down to that play. Pete can say whatever he wants. No, it came down to that play.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about look at what happened. Cam Chancellor shouldn't have been playing that game. We got hurt in practice.
Right.
Had to wear that knee brace. Richard Sherman hurt. They had people banged up in the Legion of Boom, and they played their butts off. Now, give Tom Brady credit, because Tom Brady went Tom Brady in that second half.
But you and I talked about when Richard Sherman came out, and we played the cut of what he talked about on his podcast with all of it about the college atmosphere and that wears. And we specifically talked about, in 4 or 5 years – is that what I'm going to hear about all gas, no brakes, and Fast and Furious, it's Hunger Games indexes?
It's all good, JC, because you win it. But,
right.
But what
happens if they're 7-9, not in the playoffs?
Exactly. But the thing about the Super Bowl with the Falcons was they're still young. They were young, so they didn't know no better.
Right.
These guys knew better. And if something like this happens here, these guys are getting to be a little bit more experienced.
Right.
They're not as outspoken as Seattle is, but you're going to hear some chirping, man.
Well, this is where, we joked about, Matt doesn't say anything. Matt will never say anything.
No,
if Matt has hard feelings, he'll take it to his grave.
Exactly.
Everybody's mad because Julio, now.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm sick and tired. I've been fussed all week with Carl about this, and now he gets his buddy back. He gets his buddy back, Mike Bell, tomorrow, so they can agree on everything about Julio.
Mike's not going to write an article about Julio.
I don't know. Because all he focuses on the three touchdowns all the time.
But what'd you say about Julio? He didn't say nothing.
He didn't say nothing. Oh, yeah. God. Not Julio. Not our superstar wide receiver. He's not like a diva. I just want some more money. Oh, God, get rid of him. Matt plays better without him anyways.
I've tried to explain, because I was listening a little bit to Jeff and Stan and stuff yesterday, and I tried to explain this to people. I don't understand how people don't understand the Falcons have no choice in this matter but to give Julio more money. There's
nothing to negotiate about, bro.
We're going to play hardball.
The funniest ones are the no leverage people. Julio has no leverage. He's Julio freaking Jones.
Right.
That's his leverage right there.
Okay? Right. What? So the Falcons want to be that organization that's going to, like, all of a sudden draw the hard line in the sand.
Yes.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Tell me how that works out for
He's Julio Jones. That's his leverage.
Right.
Yeah, he got three more years under his so. He's Julio Jones.
Yeah, I would tell you that I don't know that it's like they're not going to add four more years on his contract or something.
No.
I don't care if Arthur reaches into his pocket and pulls out some folding money.
Yeah.
There'll be more money for Julio this year.
And it's not – and one thing – well, we're not going to – they're still going to be able to sign who they want to sign.
Right. This is not about he's going to eat your cap away and there's nothing left out there. It's the same thing with Gronk.
Yes.
It's the same thing with AB.
Yes.
They figure out ways. Isn't it funny how they magically come up with $4 more million?
Yes.
They always find a way. But back to this Cliff Avril story. I understand what they're saying, but I also believe – yo, this is two guys that have been let go by the Seahawks that are now chirping up about all this.
This has been going on for a while.
Well,
because do you remember, was it last year or 2 years ago when they ran something similar down there in a regular season game? They threw it and they turned it over and Richard went after the OC. Like, you better not call that again. They'll never get over it.
No, I get
but
that.
No, of course, there's always. I mean, of course,
the real chirping is coming as these guys are getting cut. Well, yeah.
Everybody who's been cut, I would say right, majority of people. It's always.
And you know the sad part, too, is that that's a lot of what a lot of people will think about Pete Carroll and that decision. Mm-hmm. And Pete Carroll is, I tell you all the time, I think Pete Carroll's the second best football coach in the NFL.
He's a hell of a football coach.
I think he's a fantastic coach, but that's something that will be part of his legacy.
He ain't going to live that down, man.
No.
It will never go away. And to guilt, because, I mean, there's those conspiracy theorists out there talking, well, they didn't want Marshawn Lynch to win MVP. There's no way in hell I believe that. No way.
I don't care what Pete Carroll could never be that petty.
No way.
I can't imagine you've ever had a coach in your life that would be that petty to do something in a game like that.
I mean, you made the wrong call. That's one thing.
Right.
But to be petty, no, I can't
see
that.
I understand coaches are stubborn and they're hard-headed and they believe what they believe.
But then you look at what happened right there. Seattle was in sub-package, which what I mean by that is they had the one running back. They had four wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
New England stayed in their goal line front. So they manned on the outside, and then they stayed tight in the box.
Right.
So they had an eight-man front almost. So, I mean, even if they ran, they would have been a free guy. Now, do you trust Marshawn against the free rusher? Yeah. But there was going to be a free guy coming through. So, but still, you got to run the football.
It's also
second down.
It's also funny because we never give credit to Malcolm Butler for making that play either.
I mean, Malcolm made a hell of a play.
I know he did.
But people don't give Brandon Broner enough credit on how he just wrecked that whole play by jamming the point man and allowing Malcolm to just – beeline, because usually that route concept is for that defender who is Malcolm Butler to have a bubble over that.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon pushes the receiver back. Malcolm has a straight shot. That happens probably 2 out of 10 times.
The best in this story will be, I could see years from now, we're going to get Russell Wilson saying the same thing that these guys are saying.
Russell Wilson never come out and say it.
You don't think?
Ever.
You don't think?
Russell is company man. It's company man. No. No.
He's like me?
Yeah, pretty much like you. He's company man. There's no way that Russell
Wilson. Will he wear a United shirt?
Yeah, he probably wear a United shirt. Yeah, you and your damn company man self.
So. You're
so disappointed, man. So disappointed in you.
I've given you a whole list here lately.
We were the last two, man. Me and you were the last two. And you just fell off. Now I'm the only rebel. Only one.
I don't know. Randy's pretty company, man. He's here a lot.
Having to work here is one thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Specifically following rules, you know, I don't do that.
I mean, we heard a lot of Randy McMichael in some promos this week.
Because I was on the air this week, bro. That ain't company, man. That's work. It's called work.
Okay.
That's you over there having to buy your United t-shirt. And
We'll mention that and pick Randy's brain, which we're going to do later on.
Whatever, man.
So. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, by the way, for the record, I love this stuff because, look, I get it. These guys, that's the golden opportunity, and their reputation would have changed forever. I got no problem with Richard Sherman and Cliff Avril saying this stuff. I don't. I guarantee if you put the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around Pete Carroll, he'd be the first guy to tell you,
I shouldn't have did that.
Yeah, I shouldn't have screwed up.
Yeah, just like.
Do you think he'll come out and say?
Yeah.
When he leaves.
Yeah,
he'll come out. And say?
I think he will. He'll say, but he's kind of said it in the bit that we heard to start the segment off. He know he did the wrong thing.
So normally, it would be we go into Hugh's world,
right?
But today, we're going into Randy's world.
Oh yeah, I can't wait, man. Can't wait. I got a good one.
You're not gonna tease us?
I got a good one, man. What is the one thing people hate in this world? Moving. And I got a woo banger for you.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I was looking for, that big tease. You're supposed to stay on the other side of 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
La, 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 la. It's Randy's world.
What the?
La, 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 la. It's Randy's world.
What the hell is cool about sleeping where a bear hat?
It's Randy's world.
I jack him up though. Oh Lord.
It's all you, Randy.
What the hell were y'all doing while I wasn't here? Like, what were y'all doing while I wasn't here? That's unbelievable, man. Y'all got too much time on y'all hands. But anyway, like I said before the break, everybody knows that moving sucks. Our moving experience stuck. And so basically we're coming Friday morning. They're supposed to be there between 8 and 9. So it gets 8:30. I call the dispatcher, like, let me see where the truck is. Call back at 9:30. Nobody's there. So I call this woman 10 straight times and nobody answers the phone. So the manager calls me back. He says, sir, she forgot to put y'all on the docket.
Oh.
So he said, I can get a truck out to you as soon as possible. So I got to work. So I wanted to be there. And now note, I done brought the boxes downstairs to make it easier for them and everything. So I'm hot. So I get to work. And so my wife calls me and says, about 1:30, they finally show up. All right, got three guys. They got one dude who might have been the laziest packer I've ever heard. She was just complaining. So I'm trying to do the show. And so she went and bought this brand new dining room table. You know, one of the fancy tables that you know, it looks pretty, but you can't sit at.
Right.
It's all glass and all that. So she goes and buys it. And she told them, she said, whatever you do, do not break that table. John Chuckler, she texts me at 3:00. They broke the table.
Oh.
And the one dude that
where did you get the table?
She got it from Z Gallery.
From where?
Z Gallery.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
It's fancy store. So, first of all, I was mad because she told me she lied and it cost more than she told me it cost. So that's one reason I was like, hold on, they didn't break the table. She said, yeah.
And let me guess, it's like one of a kind or something like that, too.
Yes, yes. But they break the table, JC. So after I get off work, I'm supposed to go back home because our bulldog was at the neighbor's house. So I'm supposed to get the dog and take her to the house. She says, baby, I need you to come to the house now. So I get to the house, and you got two dudes there working hard, some heavy stuff. And so you've been to my house where, you know, the Wood Entertainment Center. Well, I got that custom made. It's a hard oak type thing, right? It's about 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in the basement. It was going in the basement. So the neighbor was like, can we just have the truck back in to your driveway so it'll be an easier, you know, care? JC. Okay. So they get it off the truck, right?
This is at the new house.
This is at the new house. Okay. They're getting it off the truck. And the dude I'm telling you about, the laziest packer ever, he can't lift it. So I have to literally go out there and help them carry this thing.
Oh, my God.
But that's not the bad part about it. He is giving directions of how to corner the thing to get through the door while me and the other two guys are carrying this heavy entertainment center.
How livid are you at
this
point?
I'm 38 hot. I mean 38 hot. Now you done broke my table, and now you got me doing your job. So we get it in the house, and you know, like I said, the other two guys working hard, and he is just literally he's literally sitting. Like, we have, like, this chair out in front of the house. He's sitting in a chair. So I go by him and said, you comfortable? Yeah, my hands, you know, I'm cramping a little bit. You got some water? Go get him water. So So I go give him the water, make sure he's okay and everything. I got to take care of this guy now. I got to take care of him because he's tired. It's his job to move my stuff, but he's tired. So he comes in. So gets up, does his water. So I'm like, what you about to do? I'm going to go sit in the truck for a little bit. I need some rest. So he couldn't take anything in the house. Like, he couldn't go up to the third floor. He couldn't go downstairs. He could only put stuff, like, that was in the garage. Because we had stuff labeled garage. Well, the truck is right by the garage. So.
Wow.
So, end of the day. And so, we're still few. So, the movie company, they're like, they left stuff at the house. Now, note, we have this big bed that needs screws and everything. JC, they forgot the screws to the bed at the old house. So, I had to sleep on the floor in a mattress. My first night in the new house. So they forgot the screws at the house. So, but then they left all the furniture, like the patio furniture that she bought, I was telling you about, for the pool and everything. They left all that in the garage, too. These are the most incompetent movers ever.
How bad did they break the table? How was it, like, really bad, or was it just...
She was able to...
We live with it.
We had to fix it, but they broke the leg off. But it's a wood leg, so it got broken off in there, so we had to... So it's a whole different story. So I got to go back, drive back to the new house, the old house, and meet them so they can get the stuff out the garage and get the screws for my bed.
Wow.
Yes. But they gave us the whole thing free.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they gave the whole thing free.
I'd hope.
Yeah, and so, you know, that was the move from hell. But now that we're in the house, everything is cool. But, dude, when I tell you
that. So you needed 2 days off.
I need 2 days off.
Yeah, you needed 2 days off.
I wanted to fight that dude. Because she literally told him. And it was him, the dude, the lazy mover that broke the table. She literally sat there and told them. She said, you can break anything in this house. Don't break the table. And they broke the damn table. Broke the table. They left the screws from the bed. So I had to sleep on the floor in my new house. First night, I had to sleep on the floor because they forgot the screws to the bed. Unbelievable.
And now you're still going today?
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay.
Done.
You got everything.
Yeah, everything's in the house. Okay. Bed is put up. They put the bed up. They didn't tighten the screws enough in the bed, so the bed is moving and squeaking now. I mean, it is a whole bunch of stuff going on at right now at our home.
So this thing's all weeble wobble.
Yeah, it's all weeble wobble now. Like, I need to put a deck of cards under these beds to balance it out.
Yeah, but pack of matches or something.
But to their credit, like the two guys that were working hard, they came back Saturday. They were so cool. They got the job done so fast. Gave him a nice tip and everything. Because the other dude, my wife was like, are you tipping him? I said, I'm tipping what? He didn't do nothing.
They should have given him advice. That should have been your tip. Yeah, here's a piece of advice.
So, it was all bad. They're leaving the neighborhood. They turned on the wrong street. They're driving through the neighborhood, waking up my neighbors. Because they didn't finish unpacking the first night until after 11 o'clock. So, they're driving through But we're in there. We've already, you know, like I said, we're going to have our first little, it's not even a get-together.
Have you and your wife had the discussion about how long you're going to stay here?
In this house?
Yes.
Yeah, no. What do you mean?
Like, you going to stay there for a while? Like, are you done?
Moving?
Yeah.
For a while, yeah.
What's a while?
Probably till Samson gets high school, probably.
Okay.
Probably high school, Samson.
Yeah, I wondered if you, like, I was just curious if, like, you had kind of put your foot down and said, okay, we got the pool, we got the house, you're by your work, we need to stay here and just,
you know me,
drop down some roots.
You know me, it's in the suburbs. So I'm a suburban dad myself.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a lot of congestion where I'm at. I'm telling you, the first night, JC, I sat outside, because you know I like to sit outside. Mm-hmm. I sat outside till 2:30 in the morning, smoking cigars. Yes.
Well, yeah, nothing wrong with
nothing
that.
Wrong. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. You know, I don't like the streets.
But that was my point. Like, 3 years from now, nobody better be getting antsy, right?
Oh, no, I'm not getting antsy. Unless I get that dream job I want in Miami.
Dream job in Miami?
Yeah.
All right, let me write that down for Pick Randy's brain coming up later. Yeah.
There's a midday slot coming over.
Wow. Okay. All right. So it might be Rob Tribble and I coming up. All right. Anyway, morning sports news coming up next. We'll talk some Braves, talk some NBA Game 7s all next. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, in for John and Hugh on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.